Good evening. It's wonderful to have you back tonight, be able to have this opportunity to worship God in song and prayer and to study His Word. And also, we'd like to thank our visitors for being here. It's just wonderful to have fellowship with you and hope to have the opportunity to get to know some of you better. And lastly, on a personal note, I'm thankful to be back here to worship with you. I've been out of town actually for several of the past few weeks, and most recently, I've been out of town for a wedding and a friend's wedding. And before that, had the opportunity to preach at a congregation nearby. But initially, I've been out of town because of a trip that I took to Chillicothe, Ohio. I had an opportunity to go there and spend some time as for somewhat of an evangelism trip, and this is supported by from this church here, and I've been given the opportunity tonight to give a little bit of a report about that. And although I didn't go to a foreign country to evangelize or anything like that, then again, Ohio for some of you might seem like a foreign country. I guess anywhere that has snow might seem like a foreign country. I do think that this report will be beneficial to us just to know what I was involved in while I was there in this work, again, that you supported, but also just to allow you to know a little bit more about this work in Chillicothe that you support or have been supporting for some time now. And just to begin, I'd like to introduce some of the people that were influential in my experience on this trip. This was a two-week trip. From September 19th to October the 3rd. But some of the members I'd like to introduce you to are Dan and Serena DeGarmo. Dan is the man whose family I stayed with, this family right here. And he's actually the man that we support here at Kleinwood. I'll actually just go ahead and let you know a little bit how this all came about, this whole experience. Initially, when I first got to Kleinwood, I engaged in some studies with Steve Garrett, who is a member here and is now preaching in Bel Air. And some of the studies we went over involved evangelism. And in doing some of those studies, we called Dan. Steve knew Dan and knew that he was someone who was well involved in evangelism, does a lot of good work. And also, we called just to talk about the big picture of the Bible. And this is actually just a book that is used to have correspondence course or have study to bring someone to Christ or to obey the gospel. And Dan does a lot of work with this book. He uses it a lot just in sermons and his own studies, and he's actually a publisher of the book, so he knows it quite well. So we went through some of these studies together. And just to clarify, this book is really effective, but it's not the book that's effective. It's the Word of God that is presented in this book. I just think that this book is has the Word of God arranged and organized in a way that's easy to explain and easy to perceive. But knowing that Dan has been involved with a lot of evangelism and really knowing what he has begun in this work in Chillicothe, he's actually started it from ground up, which we'll talk about here a little bit in a second. Dan and Steve got to talking and thought it might be good if the opportunity came about that I go and spend some time up there. So this was presented before the elders, and again, knowing we support this guy, knowing what kind of guy he is, and knowing this group that was extremely young in their faith, thought it could just be a good opportunity to send me up there and allow me to learn and also be able to teach and hopefully do some good while I'm there. So off to Chillicothe I went. And again, Dan is who I initially met, picked me up from the airport, stayed with his family, and he was just a good guy and a wonderful family to be around and just to learn a little bit from. And Dan's a guy that's got a lot of passion for the Lord, definitely a lot of zeal, and he's a real go-getter type of guy. When he sets his mind to do something, he's going to get it done. So it was really good to meet him and his wife, just a wonderful pair in the kingdom. Uh, it's, type of woman, that he wouldn't be where he is without her, and wonderful to gain some wisdom from her, and just also wonderful to be around their family. Had a great group of kids that were just a bundle of fun, automatic alarm clock, sleeping downstairs just whenever the footsteps upstairs started going wild and it was time to get up. But it was just wonderful to be around them, just see how they're brought up, see how they pray with their children, and how their kids have verses that they'd read every day and things like that. But I feel like they were raising them in the Lord, and really wonderful to be around this wonderful family. Another person that was influential in this experience is Mark Hatfield. Dan is a full-time evangelist that we support. There was another full-time evangelist that worked with Dan named Mark. Him and his family actually initially moved together there to start that work, and just another guy with a lot of passion, a lot of zeal, and just a huge heart. Gave me a lot of wisdom and advice on the trip, so really appreciated him. And then the last guy, Alfred Marcus. I believe Alfred, this is a picture of Alfred and his wife Rhonda and their son Quentin. Quentin is a big boy. Alfred's probably 6'4", his wife's pretty tall as well, and Quentin's 5". He was a big boy. One time when I was just over at Dan's house sitting on the couch, he came and thought it'd be fun to jump on top of me, and he was a big boy. This is a very strong, faithful family, really encouraging to be around them, and I believe that they had actually moved into the Chillicothe area a couple of years after Dan and Mark had been there, and they knew each other previously, and I think that was part of the reason to come and worship there, is to help that growing work out. And he actually was involved in quite a bit of prison ministry. Initially, he started just going with Dan a little bit, and Dan really encouraged him to get involved in this. And I know why, because Alfred just has a way with some of the people there. He was real down-to-earth, a really good Bible student, but just could really relate well to them and explain things real simply. It was kind of wonderful just to be around him and just Bible study in general, just hearing some of the comments he made. And I remember one time we were in a Bible study and he said something, explaining something that, you know, God is not down with that. He's not down with that. And it was just a good guy and a cool guy to be around. But initially he was volunteering in the prisons and actually was encouraged by Dan and Mark, I believe, to maybe even get more involved. They had actually converted quite a few people who were in prison, and after praying about it quite a bit and just being able to get support, he is fully supported outside of the prison to be able to work there. And he basically, since he's so involved there, they've given him all the privileges of I guess, what a typical hired chaplain would be, and just does really, really good work there. And it was wonderful to be able to experience some of that with him and just to be around him outside of the prison as well. And I'd like to go ahead and just give you a little bit of background about the church in Chillicothe. And I think you know, in some of the background here might allow you to understand why the elders thought it might be such a good idea to allow me to go and visit this place. But Dan and his family originally moved to Chillicothe in September 2006 to begin a work with Mark and his family. And before this, there was not a sound congregation in the area. There was no building, there was nothing that they knew of. And Dan had considered doing something like that for some time. He'd actually been preaching in Canada for quite a while before this. And just after thinking about this and thinking about this was something that he could do and had a desire to do, he was encouraged by one of the older members there, if he was going to go somewhere, that Chillicothe, Ohio might be the place to go. And Dan grew up in Ohio, was a little bit familiar with the area, and after checking out some demographics and that kind of a thing, pretty much just decided to go. Not too much thought besides what I just mentioned. And so he called up Mark Hatfield and told him his plan, what he wanted to do, and within a week, Mark had decided, all right, let's do this. And so they went, and in September 2006, they started with 9 people. Basically, these 2 men and their families. And so because of that, they quickly got to work. Started out evangelizing hardcore in the community. And a lot of typical evangelism methods were used. They went and did a lot of door-to-door. They passed out Bibles to a lot of people that they went door-to-door with. They handed out a lot of flyers, and they prayed with a lot of people, and just prayed in general. Dan had said that before he was going to make this trip, he just prayed for a year, specifically in his prayers, praying about this work that he was going to try to begin. And some of those door-to-door, some of what that involved was him basically handing out a flyer and talking a little bit about God and actually just asking really if they might be interested in a Bible study. And what a lot of times he said he'd do, he would go from morning till about 1 o'clock or so, and then and just make contacts and tell people, basically, I'm going to have a study at 3 o'clock in this public place. And then he would go, and hopefully people would show up, and he'd present something like the big picture of the Bible or some different concepts, and go from there. And sometimes a lot of people would get baptized, not after too many studies at all. But also, they had a lot of heavy involvement in the community, basically as a reason to be able to connect with people, relate to people, befriend with people, to evangelize, strictly to present the gospel. And so Dan did everything from getting involved in city council meetings and basically offering prayer before the meeting started, to coaching his son's baseball team just so that he could kind of get to know some parents. And actually, I know one of those parents of the kids are currently a member now as a new convert at that church. And also his wife was a big part of all of these things. But him and her both got really involved into the school. Serena, actually, his wife, even now, goes to the school every week and has a prayer meeting with all the women at the school that would like to pray. And also, last thing, they just did a lot of volunteer work. They got involved in whatever community volunteer opportunities that they could find, which one of those things was serving food at the Carver Community Center. Just went in, and there's this community center that allowed people to come in for free meals as long as they just signed their name up, and just worked with them and handed out food, and then just would try to talk to different people that came in and would sit down and pray with some of those people. Dan also volunteered as a chaplain at the hospital for a short while, and felt like there was a lot of success just there, especially, you know, people in that type of mindset who might be suffering and hurting, thought was very effective. And again, the whole time they were doing these things strictly to make contacts, to pray and set up studies and allow people to have salvation. And as a result, they grew. They grew quite a bit. And initially they were actually meeting in this community center that I mentioned that Serena had previously a lot of time prepared food for people, and more and more people would come, and more people were baptized. And this is the actual room where Dan preached. It was a pretty small room, just had about a step for basically an elevation where he would preach from, and really couldn't hold too many people, and it kept getting more full and more full, and before long, they realized that they would need to have a building. So, in 2010, I believe, or excuse me, 2009, they started construction, and it's pretty neat. If you go on their website, I believe it's churchinchillicothe.com, you can see just kind of the process of the building, and they started to build a building for the congregation there. And by the first Sunday in January 2010, it was open for services. And they initially, again, I said they started out with 9 people. And this was in 2006, so this has been about 5 years. Now they have close to over 100 members. And some have come from other churches. Some people have moved into the community who were former members of the church. Others have come from some denominations. But quite a few people were first-time converts, new converts, first-generation Christians, which is a wonderful thing to see how the work truly can grow if you put forth the effort, put forth the time. And it was interesting, though, just talking to Dan, that because they have such a young church and because they've grown so much so quick, they have quite a few people that have a lot of baggage, coming in not knowing anything about God, having a lot of trouble in their background, things that they need to put away. Involves a lot of work for Dan and Mark to just be able to study with these people, and just a lot of patience dealing with again, just so many thoughts from so many different backgrounds and what people believed previously. And a lot of them are very needy, and many are inconsistent. Dan has said he's been involved in a lot more of pastoral work at this point in time, basically because there's no one else to do that, it being a young congregation, and a lot of this just kind of being put on his shoulders that he really has to help tend the flock in a sense. And although there are 100 members, they typically have around 70 or so for Sunday morning service and around 50 for Bible class and midweek study. So that's just a little bit about this church. So you see where it's coming from and just what kind of setup it is and why this be an interesting opportunity for me to go and experience. And so some of the activities that Dan had set up for my stay there was initially preaching. Preacher's going to go on a trip. He's going to preach. But I was able to teach or preach two sermons. And it was really interesting because, again, dealing with a group that is young in their faith, a lot of people coming from no knowledge of the Bible at all, it was just really interesting to be able to preach on those levels. I preached a lesson on Zacchaeus, and I had mentioned something about the song that goes with Zacchaeus. You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and wee little man was he. And as I'm saying this, all the people are looking at me like I'm crazy. They had no clue, you know, what this song was or where I was getting that from. And just interesting to be able to deal with people that you can't assume anything as far as what they might know or what they would have learned previously. And so it was humbling in that experience and interesting to just be able to understand how to relate to people and know where people are at. But then also it was just really incredible to be able to teach Bible class. I got to teach four different Bible classes, and they were basically all on the life of David in some aspect. And it was also just incredible to see people hear stories in some cases for the first time. We talked about David and Goliath, and you could just tell, you know, people knew of David and Goliath and, you know, underdog story, but they hadn't really looked and seen the story. And just the excitement, you know, that they had and the questions they had, it was just really encouraging to be able to see some of that. Also, we had daily devotions. Every day we would typically begin at the church building, and Dan and I would go over some text or something that he'd want me to learn. And typically it would relate to whatever activity that I might be doing that day. And the first one was basically the theme of the trip, the theme of the week, which was 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, which says, "But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry." So he basically said, you got 4 points right there. And this is the theme of your week here, to have a clear mind, have a pure mind, endure suffering, share the good news, and fulfill your ministry. And I think that's just a wonderful theme for the time I had there, but just a wonderful theme that we can all think about in our lives. And although we might think that ministry doesn't have to do with us, maybe not in the sense of an evangelist or a public preacher, but all of us are ministers in one way or another, helping and serving others, and really appreciated that theme. But other topics we looked at were overcoming discouragement, just looking at passages from 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah, just his discouragement of Jezebel wanting to put him to death after the scene on Mount Carmel, also allowing love to be the motivation for what you're doing, looking at Romans 9, verses 1 through 5, and just seeing how Paul had this great, immense love for his brethren. So it was great to just be able to have those devotions to start off the day, to have that focus and direction. Something else that we were able to do was to have interviews. He set up several different interviews in which basically they were all preachers from the area who I would write up a list of well-thought-out questions, and then we'd meet with them over lunch or for some other at some other public place, and just had time to be able to ask them a lot of questions. And I'm just always kind of overwhelmed and surprised at just how effective these interviews can be. I actually was able to have the opportunity to do some interviewing of different preachers in college, and it's just amazing how just in, you know, an hour, no more than an hour, you gain so much wisdom and insight, and just really appreciated the time I had with some of these people, and just able to ask about various topics and different things. And actually, I was even reading a John Maxwell book on leadership recently, and he said that one of the best things he did to help prepare himself to be a leader was he made a list of 10 people that he thought were the greatest leaders that were still, you know, alive today. And he basically contacted each of these leaders and asked them if they would just sit down and have a one-hour interview with them. And he, at the time, this was quite some time ago, he said he offered them $100. And he would even make vacations and trips and schedule them around these people so that he could meet with them. And he said that was one of the best things that he could have done. And I think, I don't know if I would go that far, but I definitely agree that they are just incredible to be able to experience. And what's amazing is we have people here that we can do that with probably at any time for absolutely no cost. And I would just encourage you to be able to take advantage of that. You know, we've just got some wonderful older, wiser men and women who, you know, if you came to them and asked them to sit down with you and just give you some advice on life or whatever life experience you're going through, I guarantee it could be an incredible benefit, especially when these men and women are coming from a background of faith and their wisdom comes from the Bible. If you're early in your parenting, be able to talk to some of these men about parenthood, talk to them about things like a wife that you might choose, other different things. I think it could just be an incredible experience if you'd be interested in doing that. But some of these people were Jason Harden from Laurel Canyon Church of Christ, Matthew Allen from Kettering Church of Christ, Calvin Schlebach from Laurel Street Church of Christ, and then the two evangelists that were there, Mark Hatfield and Dan DeGarmo. And they just gave me some great wisdom, great advice just on the nuts and bolts of preaching and organization, simple things like that, but also just good one-liners of wisdom. Mark told me this statement, that have these things in order. Pray, plan, and proceed. A lot of times we don't have it in that order. We have it, you know, almost completely in reverse. And just good bits of wisdom like that, really, really appreciated from them. And I asked a couple questions like, if you could go back and change one thing, what would you do differently, or what would you do the same? I asked another question, what advice do you wish that you would have been given? You know, what questions do you wish you would have asked before you began preaching or teaching? Just gave me some wonderful advice, and Jason and Matt were really good at answering my questions, just giving me some good direct answers. But then Calvin Schlebach, he had actually just been to Columbia, so I didn't ask him a single question. He just wanted to talk about Columbia the entire time, but that was extremely, extremely encouraging. Another thing that we were able to accomplish was doing some door-to-door. were able to pass out several Bibles during this time. He actually went and basically just bought a case of 100 and something, and we passed out quite a few of them. And during that, we would pray with people and ask them if we could, you know, come in and pray with them if they had the time or wanted to talk about anything, and basically told them where we were and would love to have them to church. And actually, one of the women that we did go in and talk with, Dan told me this past week she had come to church and had planned on coming again. So it's wonderful to be able to have that opportunity. And it was just amazing to be able to actually get in some of these people's homes and see what they're dealing with and pray for them. A couple of them were on their way basically to the hospital or had a procedure recently, and just a great opportunity to be able to do that. Also, I was able to visit and meet several members of the church, pray with some of them, but also some of them shared their conversion stories. And again, you know, a group of young Christians, it was really interesting to see where some of these people had come from and some of the interesting stories they had. It's kind of a little bit of a rougher community, so you do have some people who are a little bit more rough around the edges, and just really interesting to hear about some of their life experiences. There was one man in particular that I just really appreciated, got to spend some time with him. His name was Frank. And Frank is a man who's blind, and he's blind because he had been married for 40 years to his wife who passed away. And after her passing, just was really discouraged and depressed and actually tried to commit suicide by shooting himself in the temple. And because of that, he is now blind, but he was able to keep living. He actually was in a coma for, I think he said, 6 weeks. But now is you know, completely has his wits, was able to recover. And this was actually just a door-to-door meeting where Dan was with a couple other guys, knocked on his door, he opened, and in one setting, presented the big picture of the gospel, presented him, you know, a way to salvation, and immediately he went and was baptized. And what's amazing is, this happened 4 years ago, and he said that while I was there, he had missed his third church service ever since he had started coming. And all of those misses were due to the fact that he was in the hospital. And actually, even that one that he missed while I was there, he was in the hospital, had gotten really, really sick. And just really encouraging to see someone like him who was able to recover from something like that and just overcome discouragement, be able to see truth, commit to it, and just completely stay faithful. So really appreciated meeting Frank. And one more thing about Frank. Because he's blind, he likes to listen to a lot of CDs. And he actually listens to the Bible more than anything. And he said that since, you know, he's become a Christian, he's probably listened to the Bible, he said, without being an exaggeration, over 200 times, just completely in the Word. And you could just tell it by his faith and commitment to God. The last thing I was able to experience that I'll share with you is some visits to the prison. I told you that Alfred had this opportunity to be able to volunteer in there, and a couple times I got to go with him. And this was probably my favorite experience of the trip, and mostly probably just because I'd never been exposed to that before, and it was just really encouraging to be able to be in there and to meet some of these people who were in there. And I'm not going to lie, when I first was heading in there, I was really nervous, because I guess I walked in there and I felt like I kind of stuck out like a sore thumb. It's probably because I did. But even as I was walking up, there was a big group that was going to lunch, and I thought some of them were starting to kind of jeer at us, and turned out he was just talking to someone in the line and really kind of, you know, got me a little nervous. And then Alfred said, yeah, things have been pretty bad here lately. We had a couple stabbings last night, so that didn't help. But I'll tell you what, after we got in there, just one of the best experiences I could have imagined. I had three visits total. The first one was just for a Bible study. And to be able to sit down with some of these men, actually this first time there were probably just, there were four. There were four different guys. And it was just incredible to see how much they had been in the Word. I mean, their knowledge and recollection of Scripture and verses in particular just kind of blew me away. And as we're studying the Word, and some of the different people I ended up meeting, some of them you could tell are a little unstable, but others you could tell that they were just completely and legitimately faithful to God. And but you know, we'd be going through a couple verses, and he would mention some verse or something previous in the context, and he's like, "Yeah, that's verse 7. That's verse 7, right?" And he would be right. I'd look down, and it wouldn't be a common verse that everyone knows. Just incredible to see how much they knew the Word. And after the first visit, the second opportunity I had was to go and just be involved in a prayer group. And this time I got to meet quite a few more of them. There were about 18 that were there. And just kind of overwhelmed by their spirituality, by their passion and zeal. And it was kind of interesting because I sat down and they asked if I would introduce myself, so I did. And then one of them really wanted to be able to have the opportunity to introduce all of them. And Alfred got called out, so that basically happened. And there was one brother in particular, just really encouraged by. His name was Brother Jones, or Inmate Jones. He initially started off this prayer group saying basically to the prisoners, "You guys, we need to have better fellowship. You know, we act like we're brothers while we're in here, but we get out into the yard, and, you know, people act like they don't know each other." He's like, "That's not how Christians are supposed to act, and we've got to be encouraging each other and strengthening each other." It's just really impressive to see him say some of those comments. And this was an older man. It seemed like he was really respected, and he was the one who really wanted to introduce themselves. And so as they began, a couple men said their name, and then he said his name, and he also told me his sentence. And he said that he had been there. He was sentenced to 25 years or life sentence. He was an older man. And just kind of blew me away for a second. And then after that, everyone told me their sentence. And several of them said that they were sentenced to life. And one of them in particular, he ended up saying, "I'm sentenced to life in Christ." And then the rest of them were like, "Yeah, me too, brother." You know, and but just really just kind of an eye-opener to see their spirituality and to know, you know, these people, especially you think about the fact that a lot of them are in there for life. They're not just messing around or doing this to, make themselves look good there. They're truly committed. I think Alfred had said that it had been an incredible experience just to see so many different people change, and had quite a few different converts, and some of them, you know, some of them would be in one day, out the next, but definitely quite a few of them who legitimately committed themselves to God. And it was just kind of amazing to see these people and just see the testament that God can just completely change people's lives, and that anyone can come to the Lord, no matter what they've done. And I had gotten some insight into some of the things they'd done, and just amazing to see that anyone can come to God. And finally, there was actually a third visit where we got to have worship in the prison. And I think about 20 of us came from the church and were able to worship with them. And again, just the passion and zeal they have, and just that environment was really encouraging. And even after I was leaving, a lot of them, you know, had known why I was there and what I was doing, just, you know, gave me a lot of encouragement. One of them prayed with me and just asked the Lord to bless me. Really thankful to be able to have that experience. And so that's basically an entirety, a summary of the trip. And again, I just want to thank the elders for that opportunity and all of you for your support and being able to do that. I really was encouraged by the experience, and hopefully there was some good done there by me as well. And I just want to share a couple of lessons that I think that we can just all take from this trip that I was able to have. But the first one is appreciate what we've got. Appreciate what we have. You know, it's amazing to see what some other places don't have, and really just to see what we do have here. It's just completely overwhelming. You know, I mentioned something about the leadership there, it being a young church, young in their faith. We have got to appreciate and take advantage of the leadership we have here, the elders that we have here, because not everyone has qualified men to be elders, and not everywhere has older, wiser, faithful men and women, period. And just think about that for a second, what we have here, how many we have here, how many older men and women who've lived their lives completely faithful to the Lord to be able to guard this flock, shepherd this flock, give wisdom to us, make sure our paths are straight. And just imagine what it would be like to not have men who have the qualifications as we see in 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1. We are truly, truly blessed. And what some churches and what some people just completely desperately pray for day in and day out, we have an abundance of. I don't know how many times Dan stated while I was there, I just keep praying to God to be able to have elders here. We need elders. We need shepherds. And I truly hope that God grants his prayer. But while he's in that situation, I'm thankful that we can take a lesson from that and appreciate what we have here. Also appreciate the resources we have here. Not until January 2010 did this congregation in Chillicothe have a building to worship in and individual classes to meet in, let alone a curriculum, etc. You know, and many places still don't have buildings to meet in. Again, just look around and see the abundance that we have here. See the teachers we have here, the material that we have here, the phone system that we have here. I mean, just the new things that are being brought in every day to help this work here function better, more efficiently, but most importantly, to teach the Word of God the best that we can. Again, you know, the children's classes we have, just amazing to be able to have that, those opportunities. And again, we need to take advantage of them. Also, we need to appreciate our brethren. We need to understand and be patient with people who are young in their faith, who are growing and learning, and just appreciate all our brethren. And just realize, again, just the abundance we have, and not to nitpick and criticize people as much, but think good of people, bear each other's burdens, and love each other. Also, I think it's important to be aware of who we support. That was a lesson I was really, really opened my eyes to be able to go out there and see. 3 John Verse 8 says, "Be aware of those who we support and give generously that we might continue to aid in the efforts of others in the kingdom." There are some amazing people in this world doing work for God. And people like Dan, people like Gardner Hall who just came. And they are able to do what they're able to do because of the support even here. And it's just amazing to be able to see so many different people in so many different places. And again, we have a lot of different people in a lot of different places here who are able to continue to do their work and give more time to the Word of God because of support. And I think it's an encouragement to us just allows us to be able to appreciate what we're able to do and just the funds that we're able to have here and to realize that we can do so much with those funds. You know, a lot of times I think it might be easy to look and see the numbers that we put up every week and say, well, I mean, if we're putting up that much, then, you know, what's the point? I mean, we don't really need to give that much more, but to see the work that we're able to do with that, to be able to see these people face-to-face, hear about their stories, I mean, it's really important to know some of that, to go back in that back room and read some of those letters sent by some of those brethren so that we can be encouraged to be able to give generously and just know that there is much work that can be done and much good that is coming from the support that we have and the support that we give. And just be encouraged by that this these funds that we have and the blessings that we have are being used and used well, and should just give us that much more influence to be able to continue to give and give more, and to give with a generous heart. And also, the last lesson is that the Word of God will prosper if we will work. I believe that as Jesus looked out and saw in Matthew chapter 9 that the fields are white for harvest, I feel that is the exact same thing now. I think there's so many opportunities that we can have if we'll just get our hands dirty maybe a little bit, get involved in the community, and just realize that our whole lives need to be used to spread the gospel. You know, that our kids go into schools, the influence that they can have, the influence that we can have if we'll get involved in the school and in their lives, the opportunities that we have with our neighbors, the work will grow. We've seen that it will grow. We've seen that it will grow here. We just need to continue to do that, continue to push for more, to do better. And converting new Christians, I mean, it can be a long, difficult, committed process. You know, many people are not converted on one lesson. And if they are, it'll probably take quite a few more to allow them to be strong and to be mature and to remain faithful. And many are going to come with a lot of baggage, a lot of problems, especially if we are getting our hands dirty, talking to people who really do need the Word. Really, everyone needs the Word. We need to remember that. But we should be willing to aid any and all in order that we can bring them Christ, because we know that it's worth it. We know how important salvation is. That's why we're here tonight, to worship our God and just to continue to serve Him so that we might have salvation someday. And as I close this lesson, we'd like to present that opportunity to you. But if you have not committed yourself to Christ, if you've not looked and seen what's lacking in your life that you need to have a Lord to surrender to, you need to be baptized and live a faithful life, then we would encourage you to do so, and we would aid you in any way. If you would, please just come forward as we stand and sing.